¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Balotelli, Aguero! I swear you'll never see anything like this ever again.
Gavin keeps it. Skill on goal. Look at that pass. Haydock! Goal! Columbus!
There are things on here for the USA. Can they do it here? Cross and Dempsey's denied again. And Donovan has scored! Oh, can you believe this? Go, go, USA!
This is the beautiful game.
Oh!
Described by two uglies.
Stupendous!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
This is a thing of genius.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I am Bone.
And I am Beam.
Man, we have got a lot to get into in this podcast. Sorry we were gone for a few weeks, but we are thrilled to be back. Just a week away or thereabouts from the start of the Premier League season. It seems like that just ended.
Just finished.
We've had a summer of soccer, which I always love summers of soccer. That's always great. Major League Soccer, of course, going on, but plenty of international soccer as well. Olympics stuff. We'll get into all of the Olympics stuff, or at least the part that involved the U.S. women's national team. We'll talk a little bit about that. We will talk about the Harry Kane situation. Crew have some problems defending right now and otherwise. U.S. won the Gold Cup. Or the World Cup, if you're a newscaster in Sacramento.
Hey, man. He was trying his hardest.
He was trying his best. You know what? Not good enough. That's what I have to say. Damn it. Not good enough. But we had all that planned out. We were going to do the show a day earlier than we recorded it.
Yeah, Soccer Podcasting Day, Thursdays.
Yep. We didn't get to do it on Thursday, so we're going to do it Friday. And then, good thing, because Thursday, right after we would have recorded this podcast, that's when we found out Lionel Messi is leaving Barcelona. Mm-hmm. So we're going to start there. Beamer, kind of set this up for everybody. From what my high-level understanding of it, meaning like 10,000 feet in the air view, is that everybody wanted to do this deal, Barcelona, Messi, but then the amount of money it was going to take to keep Lionel Messi there, Barcelona was told by La Liga, you can't have that much debt, Barcelona. You don't get to have a Ferrari. You can't afford a Pinto. So is that where we are right now?
Yeah, it does. That's exactly what it sounds like. Yesterday, they released the statement, which kind of set the sports world on fire again. We know he's been a free agent. We thought he was going to test the water. I mean, at the end of the season, it was like, oh, he's going to go to Manchester City. He's going to be playing in the Premier League. Like, this is going to be amazing. And then they renegotiated the contract. But I guess the biggest problem for Barcelona in this whole thing is they can't afford it. I've never seen anything like this in the world of sports. They've been unable to register Messi's new contract with La Liga while complying with the league's financial fair play rules. And they said in a statement, despite having reached an agreement with Messi, with both parties clearly wanting to sign a new contract, it cannot be finalized due to financial and structural problems with the club. And so we have talked about this a little bit, Bone, where we know they're in a world of hurt financially, and we understand that, but you never thought you would see the day where it was actually going to impact them on the field. I don't know. Maybe that's just stupid thinking of me for thinking that wasn't going to be a thing. And then all this is coming out. Their like director of operations and their president had a big press conference today, and they actually revealed last year during 2020, Barcelona was expecting losses of 487 million euros.
Good Lord.
So the league basically steps in and said, you will go belly up if you do this deal with Messi. We cannot have that happen. It's shocking.
Yeah, it really is. Now, here's the thing I don't understand, and far be it from me to question the integrity of a statement put out by a European or otherwise soccer team, because perhaps maybe they are trying to cover their tracks a little bit. But at least as far as I've ever known it, you have salary cap experts in the U.S. Yeah. in salary cap leagues. You have people who look over your books no matter what business you have, but I presume FC Barcelona has a few accountants on the payroll.
I would assume that. And maybe one, maybe two.
I would assume they have some pretty good ones, too, because they are one of the biggest brands in the sports world. It seems ridiculous to me that they would go, yes, we agreed to terms with Lionel Messi. Lionel Messi told us what it's going to take to keep him here. We're willing to pay that. We're all good. And then a month or two later, they're like, oh, no, we forgot. La Liga has rules. That doesn't seem plausible to me. So let me propose this, and I don't think this is crazy thinking. Could it be that this is just Barcelona and Messi's way of letting everyone down gently and not getting, like, the headquarters of Barcelona firebombed?
No, I think it's still on the table that might happen. I mean, the scenes this morning from Barcelona were pretty incredible. Like, they were, like, throwing things at Antoine Griezmann as he rolled in there for practice. Club presidents making a statement. There are people, like, trying to just basically break down the doors of the club. So I don't think it's the farthest, craziest thing from being possible. But you're talking about, like you mentioned, one of the biggest brands in the entire sporting world. Basically, the fear, at least how I'm reading into this, Bone, the fear from La Liga is that they would basically go belly up, and that would be horrible for the league. And so the league steps in and just prevents this thing. Like, I don't know. I mean, if Barcelona goes solvent, what is La Liga going to do?
Well, right. I mean, you can't have that. I totally agree with that. But what I'm saying is, like, when all this came out a month ago or whenever it was that it was like, Messi is signed, yep, he's going to Barcelona, we did an episode where we talked about, like, oh, man, do we wish we could have seen him in the Premier League, mm-hmm, or is it better? You know, whatever. Like, all that happened. How is Barcelona like, yes, we know that we're 400-plus million euros in losses last year. We know our debt situation. Lionel Messi wants X number of hundreds of millions to stay at Barcelona. We can make that work. Like, how did an accountant not go, excuse me, hi, I do the accounting. This doesn't math. Like, this, none of this maths the way math is supposed to math.
Math,
like,
is yes or no, right or right, wrong. Like, there's no in between in math.
I get that you and I wouldn't know that. I get that most soccer reporters probably wouldn't know that. But it almost feels like an accountant probably said to them, like, we can't do this financially. And they go, shh.
Pin all the blame on La Liga.
Let's just keep it under wraps. Mm-hmm. Let's tell everybody we're signing him. And then when we can't, we can go, ah, La Liga, they're not letting us have any fun. Their fault. You know, because here's the reality, too. And I'm not saying he should, and I'm not saying it makes him a bad guy at all. Messi can stay in Barcelona for whatever he wants. Pay him a dollar. He's got more money than God. He can stay in Barcelona if he wants to. He obviously is, rightfully so, and everybody, you know, his agents, everybody else, was agents, what, his dad? I mean, everyone attached to him is saying, this is how much you're worth. This is what your services are worth. Don't take anything less than that. And he's right to do that. It's mm-hmm. You shouldn't cut your employer any slack on
that's
that.
That's how a career works, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. But this notion that it's like, it's all Barcelona's fault. It's like, well, it's Barcelona's fault for spending themselves into this debt-ridden position. And yes, you shouldn't be able to afford a player like Lionel Messi. But I don't want to hear from a lot of people like, he really wanted to be here. There's nothing we can do. It's like, well, he wanted to be here for the right price. He wanted to be here for what he's worth, and I don't blame him for that. But what he wants is to be paid what he's worth. That's the number one thing Lionel Messi wants, and I don't blame him at all. So go get paid. But this notion that somehow Barcelona is totally at fault, where Barcelona seems totally at fault to me, is screwing up their finances beyond recognition.
Well, yeah, and then you're losing one of the biggest icons to ever play the sport. That's the ramifications of your
Well,
riches.
Right, yes, that is, you're exactly right. It's like, how did you know, my kids didn't get braces. And it's like, well, maybe that's because you're out gambling every night. You know, like, maybe you need to look at yourself.
But
obviously, that's their fault.
On the Pro Football Hall of Fame game, that's going to hit. And that's going to come to roost. And then we'll be able to afford some braces for Bridget. You know,
that's right.
It'll be amazing.
Yeah. That's exactly right. So I don't know, man. I'm saying that I think part of what Barcelona is doing here is they try to sell their fans a bill of goods.
At this point, with what the club has done and how risky they have been with their financial involvement with all of this, Barcelona fans are smarter than that. Why should they believe anything that Bartomeu is saying? Why should they do that?
They should have come out. Barcelona should have come out a month ago and said, we want to sign Messi. He wants to sign here. We can't afford it.
Yeah, we can't.
Sorry.
Do it.
But instead, they did this. They pushed it all the way to the end of the, you know, preseason, basically. and then come out and go, we can't get La Liga to approve this deal. And it's like, you can't walk into a Ferrari dealership with $80 million in debt and go, yes, I'd like to buy a Ferrari. They're like, you can't make your minimum payments on what you have now, dude. Like, they're not going to take that deal.
I have a $5,000 line of credit, and I am ready to go.
Right, and then you walk out, they're like, oh, I guess this Ferrari dealership, man, they're really hampering my lifestyle. It's like, no, you hampered your lifestyle. They're just, like, being responsible. That's La Liga. So, yeah, Barcelona's getting a lot of crap for this, as they should. I just don't know why they couldn't be adults in the first place and say, we would love to keep Messi. We can't afford him. Yes, you're right. They're stupid. It boggles my mind. And I still have not learned in my 39 years walking this planet, I have still not learned that some of the biggest and most incredible structures of our society, you know, like Barcelona, soccer, you think that's one of the biggest clubs in the world. They are run by blithering idiots. They are. They have to be in this situation. You cannot get to this point without having stupid people. I don't care what their resumes say. I don't care where they went to school. You are stupid if you run Barcelona into a non-profitability standpoint to the level that you can't afford your club legend.
Not only non-profitability standpoint, operating at a loss of almost 500 million euros, which is almost $600 million last year, which is what you just gave Lionel Messi over the past 4 years of his contract.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and no one's saying you shouldn't pay that guy that money.
I was just looking up to the so Jack Grealish heads to Manchester City on a £100 million deal, makes him the most expensive British player of all time. And I was looking up on the most expensive transfers of all time. Three out of the top five involve Barcelona within like the last 3 years.
Good God.
Philippe Coutinho over there on like $100-some million deal. You bring in Antoine Griezmann. You bring in Ousmane Dembele as well. I mean, the way that they have run their business has been it's been actually criminal. It has been. We talked about their criminal investigation. It literally is criminal what they're doing.
It's negligent. And yeah, I think that goes back to it's just so bizarre because it's like they're telling themselves, no, we're doing right by the fans. We're spending all this money. It's like, but the fans want the team to exist.
Yeah.
You don't spend yourselves to a point where it's like, we have to close the doors now. Like that does.
We're
that's
just talking
not...
about that. Who was it? Was it with Inter? Remember Inter Milan? I mean, their system.
Oh yeah, right.
What happened with them and their owners, and they had to sell, and they finally like salvaged that out of bankruptcy, and now they're solving it. Like, I don't know, man. I like, listen, I talk on the radio about sports every day. I'm a very stupid person. All right, you're much smarter than I am, Bone.
But
maybe you can explain this to me. How this is actually happening. I understand operating at an income loss, right? That way your budget is bigger for next year, and many, many companies around the world do that. I mean, non-profitable organization. But at the same time, it really blows my mind how you can just bamboozle your fan base that big and say we have an agreement in place with Lionel Messi, one of the best players to ever dribble a ball at his feet, guy who scored over 670 goals for the club in 700 and some odd games. He's a 10-time La Liga champion. He has 6 Ballon d'Ors. He's won the UEFA Champions League 4 times with Barcelona. And then all of a sudden, you're going to pin this on the league? It's cowardly. Cowardly.
Yeah, it is. I was just... I don't even remember what Barcelona's stadium holds, but
a lot.
I just went and did the math because, you know, part of this too is like, well, we didn't have any games last year. Didn't have any home games. That really hampered our business. I just put in that they have, let's just say it's a 60,000 seat stadium.
It's 100,000, 99,000 in there.
Is it 99,000? All right. Well, then that does change the math a bit.
Yeah, just by 40%.
All right. Well, then here, let's do that real quick.
I can actually hear the calculator going
it's exactly
on your microphone.
What I'm doing.
It's amazing.
It's exactly what I'm doing. I'm going to say the average ticket price is $60, and then I'm going to multiply that times 30. Yeah, so if you do 99,000 seat or 90,000 seats times $60 a ticket on average times 30 games, you get $162 million. That's not $400 million. You cannot tell me that last year only happened because you didn't have attendance. You cannot tell me that only happened because, oh, well, if we'd had all those people in the stands, it's like bull crap.
Well,
like,
your players took pay cuts, too. That was a big thing with Barcelona last year as well.
Yeah. I mean, there were a lot of teams that didn't have fans in the stands. There were a lot of teams that did a lot of things. You can't pin this all on the pandemic, and you can't pin this all on just uncontrollable circumstances. This is you're spending recklessly. And so it's heartbreaking, I'm sure, for Barcelona fans. They have every right to be mad. But the reality is Lionel Messi's going to go play somewhere else. So
and that being in Paris.
Yeah, he's probably going to go to PSG. You said Neymar has already given up the 10 shirt and said you can have it if you want it, yeah. Which that's pretty amazing. Neymar is one of the best players in the world, and he's right. Like, when I heard that, it did not come to me as like, oh, wow, that's a big gesture. It's like, yeah, that's exactly what you should do. Like, there's no doubt that's how big Messi is.
Especially, too, I mean, in a club with PSG that has a track record of falling short of their ultimate expectations and winning Champions League titles.
Yeah, that's right. Well, and now we'll see what Messi can do there if that's where he ends up going. Are you disheartened that he is not joining up with the Premier League, though? Would you have wanted to see him in the Premier League?
You know, we go back to this argument. I've always wondered in an alternate universe what it would look like if Lionel Messi did play in the Premier League. We know it's one of the most physical leagues in the world. I think them in the Bundesliga kind of take top-notch on that. Just the way that Lionel Messi played. I mean, who am I to say that he's not the greatest player in the world? You know, I mean, let the guy's, you know, stats and career talk for himself. I do think it's a different style of game, though. I think it would have taken him some time to get acclimated. He's 34 years old. And so, you know, I guess in a different world, Bone, I would like to see that because, you know, really, how many PSG games are you watching in Ligue 1? You know, I mean, are you turning that on to watch Lionel Messi and Kylian Mbappe and Neymar on a week-in, week-out basis? Because I'm not. I'll wait till the Champions League when they get in there, and I'll do that. But I think it would have been much more. And I guess, you know, there still is a possibility for him to go to Manchester City, but again, I kind of don't see that happening, but I think it would have been much more intriguing, at least for the general U.S. public, to watch Lionel Messi over there in England other than him going to PSG. I don't think that really, you know, moves the needle at all.
Yeah, I don't think so either, but it's going to be fascinating to keep an eye on where this all settles out. This is just a major bombshell thrown into the, you know, and not the end of the transfer window, because that obviously ends much later, but you know, we're getting to the point now where we're almost back to regular season soccer in all the big European leagues, and we don't know where Lionel Messi is playing. I did not expect this a few days ago,
no.
And yet here we are.
Yeah, it's crazy. Another like little wrinkle in this too. So I'm sure ESPN was thrilled when they announced that Lionel Messi was going to be getting a new contract. Because remember, they just inked the rights to La Liga. So if you are a La Liga fan, a Barcelona, Real Madrid, Atletico, whoever over there, you're going to be able to watch games on ESPN this year. How much damage does that do to their business?
Like,
now you don't even have Messi. You know, yeah. Real Madrid, sure, whatever. You know, I know that they just made it to the Champions League semifinals. I don't think they're drawing as much without Cristiano Ronaldo. It was a $1.4 billion deal that they did. How much does that crush their business?
Yeah. It's a very big deal. In fact, I saw a report that said ESPN has contacted Real Madrid and Barcelona about leaving and joining up with the Premier League because they're trying to break it up. Mm-hmm. They're trying to break up.
Greg Sankey was the middleman in that deal.
Sorry, that's me. That's my stupid college football joke for the day. I'll leave you at that. Which, I'll tell you this, the similarities between college football and European soccer, professional soccer, it is this. You have some of the weirdest stuff happen in those two sports. Things that are just outlandish in any other context.
It's great theater.
It is great theater. And along those same lines, the Harry Kane situation is another one of those great theater things. Unless you're like a fan of one of the teams involved, then it's not so great. But let's catch people up on that situation, because Harry Kane is ready to go. He's ready to leave Tottenham. Well, no surprise.
The best part about this entire thing, we knew heading into this summer that he was going to likely leave Tottenham. Right?
He had the goodbye match and everything. It was all pretty much done. Yeah.
It was all done. And then, like, all right, we get through Euros. He's a star. They come up short. Whatever. He finally breaks his, you know, international goal scoring drought for England in a major championship. He gets through that. And then Tottenham, the brass over there, expect him to show up to training. And everybody was going crazy on Twitter, be like, oh, my God, Harry Kane didn't show up to training. Dummies, what did you think was going to happen? You already said goodbye to this dude.
Yeah, he's waiting to find out where he's supposed to go. So here's where we sit. I mean, obviously, Manchester City's interest is the place everyone thinks he'll go. But they just signed Jack Grealish. Yep. I mean, not that they can't also afford to have Harry Kane, but clearly it seems like they've decided that was the interest they had, and then you can't get Harry Kane. Well, you bring in Jack Grealish, and you're already one of the best teams in the world, so I think that'll work out okay. But I just saw this today. Pep Guardiola has confirmed their interest in Harry Kane, but says, hey, look, if you need someone to actually be willing to sell the player, He said, quote, he's a player for Tottenham Hotspur. If Tottenham don't want to negotiate, it's finished. Mm. If they're open to negotiate, it's not only Man City, but many clubs in the world would want to try to sign him. We are not an exception. But it depends on Tottenham. So that's where we sit right now. And when I say it's weird, Harry Kane traveled to the U.S., and has been spending his time in Florida. And part of the reason he apparently did that is because when you go back to England from the U.S., like if he just took a vacation in England, you know, tomorrow if he was like, I want
to
go back.
I want to go to the Cliffs of Dover. Perfect, yeah, Harry. Do that.
You come back and you're ready to go. You can play right away. When you go to the U.S., we're one of the countries that they make you quarantine and stay away from the team for like a minimum of 5 days, even if you're vaccinated. So the thought is like he's going basically to say, well, when I come back, you know, I won't be coming back instantly anyway. So this is seen as some kind of a negotiating tactic, again, to try to get Tottenham to decide to sell. I don't know what Tottenham thinks they are at this point.
No.
But here's where I get ticked off with Tottenham. Either, like, it's crap or get off the pot time, mm-hmm. right? Like, either you're a championship-level team – not championship in England. I mean, either you're a team that's going to go try to win a Premier League title, or you're just this team that's going to be happy if you can get your occasional Champions League appearance. But you can't really consider yourself either of those things if you're not willing to surround Harry Kane with more talent than what he has. And I'm not saying they're not talented, but I'm saying you know what the stakes are here. You can't compete with Manchester City. You're not there. So either go get more talent and be buyers and show Harry Kane this is where you should be. But if you're not willing to do that, then you have to part ways. And good news, you get a lot of money for him. You're not going to get $160 million for him. I know it makes sense to ask Manchester City for the moon, but I don't think they're going to get that. So this seems like this is pretty much done unless something changes.
I think they're having a bit of an identity crisis.
Well, like, I think you're right.
Like what you mentioned, maybe ownership bone. The reason, I guess, the majority of these, you know, owners get into sports, one, you know, is to make a buttload of money with the everything that has come kind of in the sports world and how big it's blown up and how these international stages and contracts, like, you get in for the money, but two, you get into it to be, competitive and try to win. And so, you know, I don't know necessarily what's going on kind of behind the scenes at Tottenham, but you got to sit down and understand, like, listen, man, this is a player. He doesn't want to be here anymore. Can we build something off of the money that we get from possibly Manchester City or another one of these clubs? The answer to that, I still think, is yes. Build your squad with young talent, Bone, and then create something that's not artificial. And so a lot of these clubs around the world too, like, you're poaching players and you're doing this and you're trying to buy championships, and that's fine. That's the way that we've gotten in worldwide soccer, and I totally understand that. But what is happening at Tottenham is a little bit different, because, you know, here's a player, again, once out, has said to you, basically, I'm not going to show up and do anything. And so I want to be forced out. And he wasn't even forced out. Again, we kind of come to this understanding at the end of last season that it was going to be Harry Kane's last. And all of a sudden, you've had a U-turn. Well, nothing has changed from the player's perspective. But somehow, some way, something has changed from the management and the ownership's perspective. And I don't really understand the game plan. The longer you drag this out, the more gnarly, I guess, it could become. Maybe it's a long-term play by Tottenham to be able just to extend this a little bit longer and try to prolong Manchester City's chase for a league title again. I don't know. You know, you don't have Harry Kane the first month of the season. Okay, that sounds great. Now we're going to go. Maybe that's it. I have no idea.
Maybe they're negotiating that way, too, just to try to help. I don't know. But Manchester City, with all the firepower they have, what's the worst they're going to be? It's like, oh, hey, we're the first team out of Champions League. And then what does that mean? Like, Tottenham, if they're in Champions League, it's like, great. So Manchester City will just come back and kick our ass and get us out of that spot. Like, you're not going to prolong it too much. You're right. But it's a weird situation. We'll keep an eye on that, of course, as we go forward. We'll take a break when we come back. The U.S. women, they did not live up to expectations in the Olympics. What do they need to do to go forward? Also, the USA men win in the Gold Cup. We'll discuss all that coming up next, along with some problems with the crew. You're listening to Bone and Beam United. Welcome back to Bone and Beam United. So the crew have some problems right now. Unfortunately, they lose to DC United 4-2. That is on the heels of a couple other pretty bad losses. And suddenly we're looking at a defense that can't stop anything. Beamer, I'll tell you this. my initial diagnosis, and I really hate to single out one person because it's not on one person. It's a team effort, right? But I was a big fan of Abubakar Keita. He's a young defender. I think he still can be a good player for the Crew.
If he can get over that mental lapse that he had.
Well, I'm saying like down the road, he can be a good player. Right now, he is putting together some absolutely terrible games, unfortunately. And I'll add to that with this. Josh Williams is a really good defender. I think we're seeing just how important he was to this team last year. We knew that, but his absence is glaring because you are seeing there's really not anyone who's stepped up since then. And Beto Vermhoor, even when he was healthy, was not a great replacement for Josh Williams. Abubakar Keita still needs more time. I hope eventually they can loan him out and get him some more minutes somewhere else because he definitely needs it. But it's not just him. Having Artur not be out either, I think Artur is another great important piece of this Crew defense, playing that second defensive midfield role. He can let Nagby kind of roam free and do his thing. Now Nagby has to do more defending, has to be a little bit more structured, and has to be a little bit more stay at home. And that's caused the Crew to have issues. So it's just, right now, those two pieces of the defense, those two pieces, they don't really have a good secondary defensive midfielder, and they really don't have a good second center back. And, you know, with the injuries we're having, that's just not a good formula right now. So
no, you're starting to see, you know, a bone, you know, one spoke in a wheel breaks. Okay, that's no big deal. Two spokes break, sure, you're going to have trouble going straight. But I think this is just a collective effort from the entire group. Like, you're starting to see these injuries come, you know, full circle, basically, with this team. And, you know, we wondered with the depth. I mean, coming into the season, we knew that the Crew's depth was probably the best in MLS. Now, that's certainly been tested, of course, here throughout the first half of the season or so. But I think you're starting to see a bit of wear and tear with this team, there's no doubt. And what you mentioned, I think that, you know, with Darlington Nagby having to sit back as far as he has and help defend, I mean, listen, Darlington Nagby's probably one of the most in-shape dudes in all of Ohio, right? I mean, he doesn't ever look like he's out of breath. And so now you're asking him to track back, and there's not much as creative play that's being played in the midfield. I think it's all, you know, it all goes back to this and the injuries that the Crew has sustained. And it really does suck that right now you can't find rhythm. I mean, let's not bury the lead here. They have gotten just destroyed in their last two games. I thought last week in New York was just horrible. And then the midweek fixture again against a, you know, kind of crappy DC United team. The lack of effort for me was the biggest thing with this team, yeah, though, Bone, in the midweek game. I know Caleb Porter said after the match, like, yeah, the early goal for them took the crowd out. Like, don't pander, man, to the city of Columbus. Like, it's not their fault. It's not the Crew fans' fault that there was that kind of a performance on back-to-back nights.
No, you can't have that. And I'm not someone who says this can't be fixed. I'm not someone who says this means they're not going to make the playoffs. Like, we have to keep in mind there are 17 more games left. They're in week 18 of the season. So as long as it seems like, oh my gosh, Crew been playing all these games, they still have half the season left. It's a long, now it's a compact schedule, and they've got to get better quick, but because you can't let two or three more weeks go by like this, because you then, yes, you will be losing touch with the playoff teams at that point, and then it'll be a bigger struggle. But yeah, I still think the Crew can get it done if they can get some health and they can get some players who can actually, so they need someone who can play central defense. They need someone who can play defensive midfield. Perhaps there's another addition that needs to be made. I don't know. Kind of sucks that Sebastian Berhalter is on loan to Austin FC, because love to see what he could do in that second defensive midfield role.
Man, I remember now, I'm getting my memory jogged of an episode we did talking about that loan, and I'm kind of eating my words right now. I don't remember what exactly episode it was, Bone. Well, I don't know if it was MLS season preview or whenever that just happened, but now you're right. I'd love to have the kid back.
We talked about, you know what it was, though? That was the storyline going in this whole season, was the depth that this team would have. And Sebastian Berhalter's not going to play above Aiden Morris. Well, he's out with a knee injury. Mm-hmm. Not going to play over Artur. Well, he's out with a hip injury. Mm-hmm. And maybe out for, you know, I think he had just had surgery, going to be out to at least the playoffs.
They said 10 to 12 weeks, or 8 to 12 weeks, I do believe, from from Monday.
Yeah. I mean, we're at the start of the season, we didn't know any of those things. So we didn't know that there would be suddenly some open spots in the defensive midfield. Love to see what Seb could have done if he's here, but he's not. So you have to deal with it. You have to go. I just, it's unfortunate. No one could have known that was going to happen that way. But yeah, it's just, you put all that together, and that's a big issue. You put together all the injuries at center back, that's a big issue. And unfortunately, the development for Abubakar Keita is not where it needs to be right now. I don't mean to hammer him, but yeah, it's not good. But, you know, Jonathan Mensah gave up a, you know, dumb penalty too. I mean,
Jonathan Mensah took it on the chest too. I mean, he didn't mince words after
that. No, of course. It was a bad game all around. Mm-hmm. It was not only his fault either. I mean, everybody had a bad game, but yeah, you cannot be letting in 2-3 goals before you score one. You can't let in 2 or 3 goals every night. That's just the reality. But you definitely can't do it in the first half of these games, which is what we've been seeing. The Crew get down a couple goals, and then suddenly they play like their hair's on fire, and they find a couple goals and get back in it. It's just sometimes when you've already down 3, the Crew came back, got those 2 goals, and I'm like, all right, here we go.
Yep.
And then, of course, DC United's like, oh, that's right. We got 3 in this game, and we can do it again. We just need to stay on it. And sure enough, man, they found another goal because guys giving space around the 18.
I was so disheartened, too. I'm like, yeah, watching the game, super pumped, 3-2. Okay, this is going to be amazing. If you could pull a point out of this after being 3 down, you know, miraculous again. And Neil was talking about it on the broadcast
and
everything. And then just the punch in the head. I was so upset.
Yeah, it was awful.
I turned it off right after they scored the 4th.
Yeah.
Done.
Deserved by DC United, by the way. They played better.
Yeah,
they were the better team. They're playing great right now. So it's too bad. The Crew have to figure this out. And they've got time to do it, but got to figure it out quick. We'll switch gears, talk about the U.S. women. They won the bronze medal in the Olympics, defeating Australia 4-3. This is after they got bounced from the gold medal competition by Canada.
Mm.
So let's talk about this team real quick. Carly Lloyd is 39 years old. Megan Rapinoe and Becky Sauerbrunn are both 36. I think that's one of the flaws that you're going to see going forward is you've got to work on who's going to be that next generation. And the next generation needs to get better. But they also need more time to do that. Sweden exposed some weaknesses of this team, the opening game where they got smoked. I mean, It's time for kind of a changing of the guard with the U.S. women, and I think that's bound to happen. But
they've done great things over their course in time. You know, the old guard with this team, some of the players that you just mentioned. But hey, man, everything's got a life expectancy date, and you're right. This is the time. I mean, you go into any international competition with this team, Bone, and you are always going to be, you know, one of, if not the overwhelming favorite. And anything short of gold was going to be a failure for them. And they came up against a Canada team. They played sloppy and something that has marred them basically the entire competition. And he gave away a late penalty. What do you want to do? Their offense looked, for the most part, pretty trash. I mean, I know their bronze medal game, that was fine. It was a good performance. It was a fun game. 4-3, they get the win. And that one, they were finally able to find some offense. But I was wondering if the pressure just got to them. You know, they didn't look like they were playing the brand of soccer that they had established along this road to becoming one of the most dominant teams of basically all time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's of course, not like none of us are ripping them.
No.
It's the fact that we're at a point now where the standard is so high that getting a bronze medal just still doesn't feel like it's right. Where it needs to be. But obviously, it's still a pretty impressive feat, all the run they've had. And we wish Carly Lloyd and Megan Rapinoe, Becky Sauerbrunn, I mean, these are legends. They've been legends. But I don't know if another World Cup run is in them, and I don't think another Olympic run. Yeah, I think it's time for the next generation, and I think that'll be okay. That'll be good.
I'm fascinated to see, you know, kind of as we evolve as a nation with a soccer-bearing country, you know, what this next generation is going to do. I mean, you look at those women out there, you know, Abby Wambach and Alex Morgan and everybody that you talked about right there, Megan Rapinoe, Carly Lloyd, like, they've inspired a generation, right? And so, you know, what's this next generation? How are they going to live up to the standard that the generation set before them and even the generation set before them? And so, you know, as we continue to go down this road and we are getting into a changing of the guard and, you know, perhaps a little bit of a culture change with the U.S. women's national team, I'm excited to see. And then especially on the men's side, man. I mean, I know that we're excited about, you know, what this future is going to be, and we're going to talk about the Gold Cup here in a minute. But I am excited to see kind of this new generation of American soccer. And again, tip of the hat to this one. Congrats on the bronze. I know that, again, it's not what you expected going into the tournament, but it's nothing to really jeer at. I know those players in that locker room won't feel that way, but still, man, earning an Olympic medal, I think that's pretty damn cool.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think you're exactly right. Let's talk Gold Cup. Good for the U.S. men's national team. This is obviously, you know, the Gold Cup competition, not the same as what we just saw earlier with the CONFED Cup. I'm trying to remember the other one we had earlier in the year where USA beat Mexico. That was more of an A-team versus A-team
like
type
the
situation.
Nations League or something Nation like that.
Yeah. CONCACAF Nations League. Thank you. Yes, that's exactly right.
Look at me. CONCACAF expert.
Brandon Beam.
Who
our resident.
Thought?
This is the guy you go to for all news in CONCACAF.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the great thing. The U.S. sent their, I don't know, B, C team to play Gold Cup. I mean, no offense to anybody on that team, but that is clearly not, you know, the European-based squad that you're going to see in the World Cup qualifiers, most likely. And Mexico did send, like, an A-minus team, you know. A lot of starters that were in that Nations Cup were in this one, and the U.S. beat them. I mean, that's, to me, the big takeaway here is U.S. soccer is creating depth. They are creating a lot of guys who know how to get the job done. And playing against Mexico, I'm not saying Mexico is the only barometer you need to have, but it's certainly one of the ones you got to pass around here.
Well, it's the biggest one. Yeah, it's the biggest one that you have around here, no doubt.
Right. So I think that was a great moment to see, and I do believe that means good things for the U.S. going forward. I don't know if it means, you know, giant run in the World Cup
it's
or anything
home.
Like that.
It's coming home.
Oh, it's coming home? It's going to England?
Yeah, soccer's coming home, not
football. Soccer's coming home. Oh, this is home. Okay, good to know.
It's home to soccer.
I'm glad to know. It's home. Well, it's home to us. Yeah, right. It's coming to our home. That's right. Exactly right.
The biggest takeaway I had from the Gold Cup, you know, a couple of weeks ago when we did our last podcast, we're talking about, you know, how much does it really matter? And I think anytime you get into one of these international competitions, you ultimately, obviously, want to do the best that you possibly can. I think let alone from, you know, Greg Berhalter winning a couple of titles this summer and having a pretty decent run here as men's national team head coach, is that you're playing games that matter. Now, they might not matter to, you know, the general fan and everybody who just checks in kind of during the World Cup cycles and the World Cup bone, but you're playing in games that actually matter and you're finding a way to win. And I think that's incredibly important moving forward. We talked about, you know, the failure to qualify for the Olympics for the U23 squad and how big was that, and just getting yourself into a position where you know what you need to do. Now actually go out there and do it. And the more and more success that you have, the more wins that you have with these young guys on the roster and understanding what it means internationally to go out there and play in a meaningful match and actually win, I think that's huge moving forward, not only for this team in the CONCACAF region, but when you get unveiled to the World Cup. Last time you missed out on the entire World Cup, I think it's huge for the morale part of this team and understanding what we need to actually do to go out there and get a result when we need to do it.
Yeah, it is hopefully something we can see going forward where this team develops that steel and that grit that you need in these big tournaments to make that happen, not just in the World Cup or the Gold Cup, but also, you're right, in Olympic qualifying. And anytime you put on a USA jersey, I want to see that with the U17s. I want to see that at every level. So I think we can get there. It's just going to take a while, but good to see some of the growth that's happening there. Beamer, anything else for you before we get back into the Premier League next week?
I think I'm going to the Death Star, Bone, for the game against Atlanta. Begin the building. Very excited about that. May even check out the Nordica as well. Ooh. Might have to get your book of chants out, and hopefully I'll have a voice on Monday. So hopefully they can get that. I don't know if Atlanta's going to fly up Kanye to be in attendance at the Death Star, but I certainly hope so.
Yeah. Are you talking about Donda FC?
Yeah,
is that what you're talking about?
That's correct. That's an amazing poll. Good job.
Can't wait to watch them. Hopefully they play just as well as they did in Atlanta and lose to the Crew. excuse me. I don't know.
That was the shot of bourbon that that I gave you.
I have also been working on Kanye's album nonstop for the last 24 hours.
Me too.
So here we go. All right, that's it for us. Enjoy the soccer this weekend. We will be back next week and previewing some of the Premier League. So excited for that. Talk to you next week on Bone and Beam United.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.